Good morning. Greet each one in Christ's precious name this morning. Thank Brother Dale for that report and update. The message this morning, for a message title, is God is Speaking. Are you listening? Dale talked about this message comes from some of the things that some conversations I've had and about some of these severe weather conditions. He gave us an update on some of the people that have really, their lives have been affected. And we want to learn what God wants us to learn. If you care to, turn to Luke 21. I have a couple verses I want to read. My message this morning has grown out of a burden that I've had this last while. If you've been, I know we already talked about all that's happening. If you've been paying attention to the adverse weather conditions and the natural disasters that's been happening across this globe, God seems to be speaking very loud and clear. And there are folks who are realizing this, and they recognize these happenings to be the hand of God. And at work, we've had many conversations about this, and I've heard numerous people agree that they believe God is speaking. And they believe God is trying to get our attention. But there's a lot of people who are not listening and are blind to the truth. Some time ago, I read an article about a survey that was given to the millennials. And for those that don't know who the millennials are, those from ages 22 to 37. It was a survey given to them. The survey asked, what are the six most challenging things that are facing our country, the USA, in 2018? And one of the top things they listed were climate change, global warming. And there was a little bit, there was a little write-up under each thing they listed. And this article went on to say that climate change is why we're having these huge, devastating hurricanes. And put all the blame on climate change. Well, this morning I'm not here to talk about climate change, but I believe that God is in control. So that's one thing that brought me to this message. Another thing is some of the conversations that we had. And I just had a discussion just this past week. An older man. He's a parts delivery man, and it was one of those beautiful days, the sun was shining and it felt like fall. And I said, it is one beautiful day out there, isn't it? And he said, it's about time. He said, this summer was so hot and so wet. I was trying to think, I thought it was not quite as hot this summer. as what we're usually used to. But he said, it's been so hot and so wet. You know, this summer really, really stinks. He said, you know, we go straight from winter into summer. We don't have a spring and a fall. And he was going on and on. He said, I used to not believe in global warming, but now I do. And he went on to expound on all the things that mankind is doing that is making this global warming happen. And then he said, that's why we're having all these adverse weather conditions. You know, these things like global warming are alarming to people. And rightly so, if you believe that the world will go on forever. But as believers, we know that God has a plan to bring the world to an end. And we know that we don't have to worry. But what are we supposed to do when these things happen? We're supposed to look up for the Lord may return any day. You know, the Bible has told us these things, that these things will come to pass. If you have your Bibles open, just a couple verses from Luke 21. I'm going to read verses 25 to 28. It's talking about the second coming here. It's talking about some of the things that are going to happen. I just want to read these verses. Luke 21, verse 25, reads like this. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. My burden this morning for this message is, are you and I paying attention? Are we hearing God speak as we go through our daily lives? You know, God doesn't speak directly with his voice to most people today, but he has many ways of communicating with us if we just keep our ears open to what he has to say. We will hear him. Point number one, if you're taking notes, point number one is a question. And the question is, why does God speak to us? And I have three short points under this. Why does God speak to us? Number one, God speaks to us because he loves us. You know, we are his creation. He created us. You know, the human race is above all the rest of his creation. He created us in his own image. So I was thinking about love. You know, those of us who are parents know the love that we have for our children. Well, there is no greater love than what God has done for us. Just think about it. He created us. He made a perfect world. And what happened? You know, the fall just wrecked everything. But we just see his great love and what he has done for us. Number two, God speaks to us because he wants to fellowship with us. You know, that was the whole purpose that he created us. He wouldn't have had to make mankind. He could have created more plants, trees, animals, things that just did their own thing. But his purpose was that he could fellowship with us. You know, before the fall, I believe God walked and talked with Adam and Eve every day in the Garden of Eden. And prior to their sin, I don't believe God had a search for them. You know, when they heard that voice of God, I believe they were glad to go meet him. But we know what happened. And the guilt of their sin changed this wonderful relationship. Let me just read Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. You don't have to turn to it. Reads like this. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? You know, sin caused their relationship with God to change dramatically. And now, man, because of their sin, fears God. Number three, God speaks to us because he wants to save us. Turn to 1 Timothy 2 if you care to. Just a couple verses. You know, God wants men to know and understand his plan of salvation so that mankind can be restored into a fellowship with him again. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. I know it's talking about prayer, but the point I want is in verse 3. I'll read the first four verses. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. God wants, it's his desire that all men would be saved so he could have fellowship with us. He wants us to accept that plan of salvation which he gave to us. Point number two of the message is another question. The question is, how does God speak to us? And I have 5 points under this, and there are many more. I didn't hardly know where to start, where to stop, but we're going to try and look at five here. How does God speak to us? Number one is through his word. It's through the Bible. Turn back to a couple pages back, 2 Timothy 3. I believe God's word is God's primary way of speaking to his people. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Read like this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You know, this morning, we all know this, and we believe this. But not everyone believes this. There's a lot of people that don't believe that. You know, there's a lot of people that believe maybe the Bible is just another good book. And you see, if it's just another good book, then you and I can take it or leave it. So let's have this riveted in our minds. You know, all scripture is God-inspired. You know, God spoke to writers, and they put it into writing. You know, when we accept the Bible as God's word, then we understand life. I made a list here of what all we can understand. You know, when we accept the Bible, I'll just go down over it. It's just, there's many others. And when we accept the Bible as God's word, then we understand creation. We also know where we came from and why we're here. You know, we understand what happened in the Garden of Eden and why you and I are born with that sinful carnal nature. We also understand what happened at Calvary and how Christ provided the plan of salvation. You know, we understand our condition and see the necessity of accepting Christ as our personal Savior. You know, we understand at the end of life, we'll stand before an all-knowing God and we'll give an account to Him. And we also understand that God's Word is our roadmap that'll lead us to our final goal, which is heaven. And the list could go on and on. You know, to those who don't accept the Bible as God's Word, what happens? Everything gets fuzzy. And just look in the world that you and I live in. You know, without the Bible, man doesn't have a solid foundation to build on. They don't have the ability to determine right from wrong. Well, I believe as God speaks through His Word, He makes clear His character and nature, and He shows us our character and sinful nature. And then He also shows us how we can be reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I thought of Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How does God want to lead you in the paths of righteousness? Well, He's going to lead you through His Word, from His Word. Just turn to Psalm 19. Just want to read a few verses from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I'm going to read verses 7 to 11. And as we read, I want you to think about what all God's Word does for us. So we read these verses. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I believe the Bible is one of God's provisions to equip us to do His will. And let's remember, God's Word, the Bible, is an absolutely essential part of your walk with God. It really is. And if you want to hear God speak, take His Word, read it, and meditate on it. Number two, under the heading, how does God speak to us? Number two, God speaks through His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 reads like this. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We already talked about that we are made in the image of God. When we confess Jesus and follow Him as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit comes to dwell in each one of us. Tremendous blessing. And there's many ways that the Spirit speaks to us. And I'm sure probably we don't give the Spirit credit as often as we should. You know, if you're like me, maybe we take the credit to ourselves, thinking, so glad I thought of that, when it probably was a Spirit bringing it to our mind. We talk about God's still small voice. I believe that is the Spirit. You know, God's Spirit speaks to us through our conscience, steering us, helping us to make the right decision. When we're facing a temptation and the battle's going on, the Spirit, you know what it is to hear the Spirit. Spirit tells us of the dangers and the consequences and nudges us to do the right thing. Jeremiah 7, verse 13 reads like this. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Another version said it like this. Said, while you have been sinning, I have been trying to talk to you, but you refuse to listen. You know, God was talking to the Israelites. As they did many wicked things, he was speaking and speaking to them, but they did not listen to him. You know, it's no different in 2018 than it was back in the Israelites' time. The same can be true in our lives. You and I cannot live in sin and expect the Spirit to lead us. It is not going to happen. You know, God lets us choose, and he will let us take our own way. If we're going to live in sin, it won't be long till we will not hear that still small voice. Just remember, the Spirit will never tell someone something that contradicts God's word. I read a quote I thought was good for all of us to consider. We're talking about listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, we're living the electronic age. We have it at our fingertips. We use it. Can be good, can be a tool. This quote said, "We respond to the beeps on our phone more than to the Holy Spirit." Let's not let that happen. Let's listen to that Holy Spirit. You know, we can be glued to our phones. Let's listen when the Spirit speaks to us. You know, we can be tuned in and so busy that we fail to hear God speak. Number three, under how does God speak to us? Number three, God speaks through other believers. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Appreciated Brother Reed's devotions on influence. The power of influence. You know, your friends are having a tremendous influence on your life. They really are. And you and I are influencing someone else. And I appreciated those questions that Reed asked us. Well, the point is, God speaks through other believers. You know, godly Christian friends are such a blessing. They really are. All of us could probably give many times that we were helped by friends, encouraged. God may use a friend, a teacher, a parent, a preacher to convey his message of truth to us. you know, their words may come as a blessing. Maybe God knew we needed a blessing. Maybe he knew we needed some encouragement. Their words may come as an affirmation to some decision that we're trying to make. We would be wise to confirm what we sometimes think we hear God saying by seeking affirmation of the direction through wise, godly people. Let's be open to wise counsel. Such a blessing. You know, whether we choose to hear or ignore the advice of other believers depends on us. And once again, we can use the same test. Do our friends' words line up with the scriptures? Godly advice will never contradict God's word. Number four, under how does God speak to us? Number four, God speaks through nature, his creation. Romans 1, verse 20 is in another version. Just thought it made it just a little clearer, easy to understand. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You know, we hear people say they love nature. They can learn so much from nature. You know, nature is the physical world and everything that is not made by people, such as the list can go on, the plants, the animals, the mountains, the oceans, the stars, the list can go on. Nature is what God created. And when you stop and think about God's creation, it's pretty mind-boggling. You know, we cannot comprehend it. And through all the minute details and magnificent beauty of all that God has made, we can hear his voice. We really can. How do we hear him speak through nature? And there's many. We could talk the rest of the morning on that. I just listed a few. You know, just stop and look at the ants. Just watch them work. You know, by observing the ants' strength to store up food all summer long, we can learn about wisdom and industriousness. Just stop and look into the heavens. Just walk outside some night and just look up. We see order. It's so vast. There are millions of stars, and God has a name for every one of them. Psalm 147, verse 4 says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Well, I believe by studying the heavens, we can just get a picture and maybe just understand a little bit more of God's greatness. We have a number of farmers here, and a lot of us plant gardens. We plant seeds. You know, we put the seeds in the ground. And we learn a little bit about the miracle of death and rebirth from them seeds. Just look at our bodies. You know, God created us. Our bodies are so fearfully and wonderfully made. God created us in his image. Then he breathed into us the breath of life. He created us, like we talked about, so he could have a relationship with us. Well, God designed all of creation, and he spoke it into existence. Number five, under how does God speak to us? Number five, God speaks to us through circumstances. And I listed three. There's many places that you could go. You and I must be diligent to seek God and be attentive to his work in every aspect of our lives. because I believe one of the ways that God speaks to us is through our circumstances. You know, as we focus on the Lord, especially through difficult and painful circumstances, God can show us his perspective about what we're going through. You know, with our limited knowledge and understanding, rather than try to figure everything out, we can acknowledge the Lord in all our ways and rely on his love for us. You know, he loves us. We can rely on his sovereignty. We can rely that he has a plan for our good. Well, back to circumstances. Things will happen. You and I know that's a fact of life. And I really believe that God will speak to us or make himself known to us as we live our daily lives, even when our days are going normal. And it is exciting to see God work out the details of a day that you didn't have a clue how you were going to get through the day. You know, at times we get those confirmations that we're so in need of. Of course, we know we hear God speaking when those big things happen. Just one reminder, and I think we all know this, never try to figure out why God is taking someone else through some difficult times. I think we all know that. Instead, ask God what you're to learn through the journey he's taking them through. So I thought, never forget the account of Job. You know, we have that whole story. We know what he went through. The devil was testing Job, trying to get him to fall. You know, his friends, no one knew what the big picture was. We know it now. Well, God speaks in many ways. Like I said, I'll list three here. The first one I have is death. And death has got to be the hardest thing to go through. I know some of you have experienced that. Lost husband, wife, a child. You know, that parting, letting a loved one go. So I thought about that, you know, just think about all the different ways God speaks when there's a death. You know, to everyone that knew that deceased person, it's a reminder that we are here today and gone tomorrow. Life is short, and we're all going to take our turn. You know, and the question is, I believe the question that God is asking every one of us is, are we ready? You know, I thought about the sinner that knew that deceased person. The sinner who's not ready to meet God. God sends conviction. And if the deceased one was ready to go to the family, he gives them comfort, gives them hope of the resurrection and of meeting again in heaven if they're faithful. God can speak in so many different ways. The second one I wrote is our health. Our health is another tough one. When God touches our health, you know, our health is a gift from God. And we often take it for granted. This last while, we've had quite a few of health issues in our congregation. And that's all right. I mean, we all take our turns. I don't know what God's trying to teach us. So I thought about that. Maybe the lessons to be learned aren't for those having the health issues. Maybe the lessons are to us as the church family. You know, the Bible talks about when one member in the body hurts, the whole body hurts. I had to ask myself the question, are we passing the test? Are we walking close enough to them that to feel their pain? You know, just look for ways to bless them. Pray for them. Send words of encouragement, cards, calls, messages. Take a meal, whatever way you wish to let them know you care. And I just want to thank you. I know you all do very well at that. Let's just keep it up. Let these hard times draw us together and help us to realize that we need each other. Let's just purpose to stick together and help each other, help each one of our members. Let's help each other spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. With God's help, we can get through that. And the third one I wrote is natural disasters. And I listed, this is in 2018. There's so many things happening worldwide. Let me just give you a few examples. Got a few statistics here. Earthquakes. With the magnitude of 4.0 and above, 9,479 were listed worldwide in 2018. And that did not include, I think just last night, there was one in Haiti. Is that right, Vincent? Oh. Just things happening. Tornadoes, now this is in the USA in 2018. 590 were confirmed. Wildfires in the U.S. I realize some of these could be small. Things that are, you know, probably reported. Wildfires in the U.S., 46,765 wildfires confirmed, which burned 7 million acres. Hurricanes in the U.S., 2018, is 9 were confirmed. Of course, we all know about Hurricane Florence that did billions of dollars of damage, which Dale talked about. There's just been various floods. I think just this past week, Phoenix, Arizona, had some flooding. And also Indonesia, if you've been keeping track of that. First, they got hit with an earthquake, which created a tsunami, and then a volcano erupted. And they've been hit very hard. Well, remember, our point was God speaks through circumstances. God uses circumstances to speak to us every day. Some are big and some are very small. Let's pay attention to our circumstances as we go through each day. One more point. Point number three, just a couple things here. I have some reasons we may not be hearing God speak. Some reasons we may not be hearing God speak. You know, sometimes people say, well, they don't really hear God speak. I have three. Number one, maybe sometimes God does answer, but the answer is not what we were looking for. So we ignore it. Or because we were not sure what the answer would be, then when it came in another way, we didn't recognize it as the answer. Number two, if we have sin in our lives, we cannot hear God speak. I mean, God will look for ways to convict us, but finally, He will let us take our way. And He will let us live our lives. You know, just like Adam and Eve, if we have sin in our lives, our relationship with God is hindered. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." You know, if we have drifted away from God, we may be too far away to hear Him speak. And then the third one, God may not speak to us because we don't speak to him. You know, if we want to hear God speak, we need to draw near to him and ask him for his directions, for his direction in our lives. So the question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, are you listening? Let's pray.